This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Books, 40 authors, and they're consistent, they're in harmony with one another, not even knowing each other. It's written by shepherds, it's written by kings, prophets, and even fishermen. But all has one thing in common. They've been inspired by the Holy Spirit to put pen to papyrus and write the letter. And here we have it some 2,000 years ago. We have it today. And this word is not only was meant for the first readers of 1 Peter, but it's meant for you and I. This is why we study God's word.
How cool is it that the entirety of the Bible, featuring many authors telling many different stories, all flows in harmony together with the same message? In today's teaching, as Pastor Eddie begins his study through the book of 1 Peter, he pauses to acknowledge God's incredible word. Why wouldn't you turn to the Bible as your source for life? The Lord wants to speak to you personally through the many truths found in it. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 as he begins his message, Introduction and Greetings.
First Peter chapter 1, let us read the first two verses. So we're going to read verse 1 all the way to verse 2. Hopefully we make it. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Peter writes, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be with you." Well, that's hopefully we'll finish with two verses today. We're going to look at the background of this book. So last week we completed the book of James, and now we're going to begin our verse-by-verse study of the epistle of 1 Peter. And Peter, 1 Peter was written to comfort and encourage the early church, the believers in Christ, who were being persecuted for their faith. And persecutions throughout the New Testament, by the way. But here he addresses our hope and faith in the midst of suffering. That's the theme of the book. And so just as there was persecution when we study the book of James, and that happened around the first century, around AD 45, and so to the recipients of this letter, 1 Peter, are going through persecution. And this book was written around AD 60 to AD 65. And the fact is, persecution has been from the very beginning, and it continues to this day. So we see that when we study the scriptures, we can actually relate with it, because there, again, we don't know what persecution is here in the West. Christians here in America, we don't know what persecution is all about. But Christians down in third world countries, countries where they can't believe in Jesus or even have a Bible, there's a lot of persecution as we sit here this morning. And so, as believers in Christ, we often, we often have trouble sorting out the difficulty in identifying who we are as Christians and the calling that we have in Christ. Some believe, or were taught to believe, that as Christians, we should experience only the joys of following Christ. While true everlasting joy, true joy, it comes from Christ, in this world, we will have tribulation. In this world, we will suffer persecution. And Jesus tells us this. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20, "Remember the word that I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And is it important for us to have that in the back of our heads or understand that we will suffer persecution, we will suffer tribulation. Again, we don't know what that is because so far, you know, we have the freedom of religion here, even though that's only for some, right? But not for all. But here's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. He said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is a fact. And sometimes we need to examine our lives. Are we being persecuted for Christ? Well, maybe your friends and your coworkers, your family, your neighbors don't even know you're Christian. Let them know you're Christian. You're an outspoken believer in Jesus Christ, but you don't compromise. You'll see the persecution. So there's something to examine in our lives as believers in Christ. However, as we study through this epistle of 1 Peter, there is hope in time of suffering, and that's what Peter is doing here. He is encouraging the early church. Not only the church almost 2,000 years ago, but he's encouraging you, he's encouraging me, every single one of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that there is hope in time of suffering. There is hope in time of suffering. Now, before we begin our verse-by-verse study, as we do at every book, please allow me to give a little introduction, a little bit of background of this letter is important because let's say if you were given a letter by someone you don't know, and you have the same letter by someone you do know, you already have an idea of the person writing you, probably pretty much the same letter, but because you know the person, it just means a little bit more. You understand their personality, their character, how much they care for you. Where if you get another letter from John Doe or Jane Doe, you're looking and say, well, who is this person? Why did this person send this to me? It's good to have an understanding. So to have a better understanding of any book in the Bible, it's important for us to know the who, what, when, where, why of the book. And so for those of you who are taking notes, we're going to look at two things. The first thing we're going to look at is the introduction, and that's going to give us the title, the author, the recipients of the letter, the date, the place where this letter was written, the reason why, the reason for the letter, and the theme. And then I'm going to give you a couple of key verses so you can see where this stands out in the letter. And once we've done all that, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. So we can begin our verse-by-verse study when we get to verses 1 and 2. So let's begin with the title. The title, you know, is obvious, is there, is probably in big, bold letters in your Bible. It says Peter, you know, 1 Peter. And so with the exception of the book of Acts and the book of Revelation, all the other books in the New Testament are titled after the author or the recipients, which would be the church, like the Church of Corinth, Book of Corinthians, or the writer, like James and John. And so other than that, you have the Book of Acts and the Book of Revelation that are different from the others. But 1 Peter is obviously titled after an individual by the name of Peter. And so we'll see 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So once we finish our study of 1 Peter, we're going to go to 2 Peter, written by the same author. And so that brings us to the author. Who is the author of 1 Peter? Well, if we look at the first word in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says Peter. And the reason why is it starts off with the name because in ancient time they wrote in scrolls. And scrolls sometimes were at least 20-something feet. So if you didn't write down Eddie in the beginning and the person who received the letter had to roll all the way down to 20 feet of scroll, they're going to be upset. So in ancient times, they would begin with the name, Paul, Peter, and that's how it begins. And then they give, you know, what they write what their letter is about. When we get a letter, we go down to the bottom of single pages, P.S., and then dear, sincerely, whoever the person wrote the letter. And so it is Peter, and he writes, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, is this Peter the same Peter that we know as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or is this book was written by another Peter? Well, there are just a few, not many, modern scholars who doubt that whether this book, Epistle Peter, was written by the Apostle Peter. And they would probably argue and say, well, how can a rugged, you know, ordinary, unschooled Galilean fisherman would be able to write such a letter? I mean, this person that wrote this letter would be a scholar or maybe, you know, a rabbi. How could just an ordinary fisherman write this letter? Well, the question is, can God use an unschooled fisherman to write a letter? Absolutely. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. And so he's inspired by God who wrote this because it's consistent with all the other passages of scripture. That's why it's been canonized and put in the Bible, because it's consistent. And so I'm no scholar. You know, I'm not a scholar, but the way I look at scripture and the way God uses things is unbelievable. If God can make a donkey to talk, he could use someone like an ordinary, unschooled fisherman. Hey, God chose the foolish things to confound the wise, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, right? And I'm one of those things. You know, I say, hey, how can that short guy, Eddie, you know, well, it's the word of God. It's not me. You know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed or the sharpest pencil in the pack. But God could use anyone who's willing to be used by God and trust in the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, you remember when Peter and John healed a crippled man at the gate of the temple. The Jewish leaders, the rulers at that time, they approached John. They called in John and Peter, and they said, they asked them, by what power or by what name do you do this? And the scripture tells us that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. This is his answer. He said, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And he's pointing to the crippled man who was born crippled. So they wanted to know. And amazing by his speech, they were amazed by his answer and how he stood before the Sanhedrin council. How can this fisherman speak in such a way? Tells us at the end in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says this, now when they, speaking of the religious leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And that's what happens. People would know that you've been with Jesus because of the wisdom that you get from the Word of God, not your wisdom. Not your wisdom, but the wisdom of the Word of God. I can tell you countless pastors that I know, they'll tell you their background. I didn't know how to read, and they only gave me the grades and passed me so I could be on the football team. And it was until they started to study the Word of God and read, they became excellent in reading and writing, and it's amazing. And countless pastors that have been there, they couldn't read. I remember Pancho Juarez would say, I couldn't read. I would read only the red letters. I wanted to make sure I was reading from Jesus. And now you hear him speak. It's amazing. A great preacher and teacher. And God used him mightily. Pastor Bobby Hargrave was another one. He was, you know, Big Bobby. You know, he's like in the football team. And he always shares his testimony. He was working as a security guard, and he would listen to the tapes of Chuck Smith and follow the words, the reading, and learn. And here he is, 20-something years in the church on the radio ministry and a great teacher. And that's what happens. The Word of God makes you smart. It does, because it's the wisdom of God. But we see that with Peter. So anyone, whoever follows Christ and is willing to be used by God and is powered by the Holy Spirit, can be used by God in a mighty way. So let's look at some of the internal evidence that we have in the scripture to see whether or not this is the Peter who was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so 1 Peter, and it's overwhelming. This is the Peter, the first disciple to confess that Jesus was the Christ, Son of the living God. Remember, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? But who do you say I am? And he spoke. He said, the Christ, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the Peter who determined that he would not deny his master, even if it cost him his life. This is the Peter who was the only follower ready to defend Jesus when they arrested Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took the sword and cut the ear off of the guard, and Jesus put it back. He said, put your sword away. He who lives by the sword would die by the sword. There's a difference in having a sword for self-defense. But if that's your means, only the means, and you want to use it for anything, he who lives by the sword would die by the sword. This is the Peter who denied Jesus 3 times and the rooster crowed. This is the Peter who was the first disciple to go into the empty tomb where Jesus was laid. This is the Peter, the one who stood and addressed the multitude at the day of Pentecost and gave one of the greatest sermons that almost 3,000 people gave their lives and surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and were added to the church. This is the first preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. It was Peter, the apostle. The fact is that modern scholars fail to realize that this Peter here is the only Peter mentioned in the entire New Testament. So why look for another? The only Peter you'll find in the New Testament. Now, that's the internal. There's also external evidence that Peter, the apostle, the disciple of Jesus Christ, wrote this letter. The external evidence that we have is written by the first century bishop by the name of Polycarp, the second century theologian Clement of Alexandria, the fourth century historian Eusebius. They all accept Peter, this letter, 1 Peter, attributed to the disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the external evidence. And so, without doubt, we know that the author of this book is none other than Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. However, as we study any book, and we find that their authors and God had to use a man to put pen to papyrus and give us his word, Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Who wrote Peter? The Holy Spirit, but he used Peter to write it down. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, is inspired by God. And you come to find that over a span of 1,500 years, the Bible was written, 66 books, 40 authors, and they're consistent, they're in harmony with one another, not even knowing each other. It's written by shepherds, it's written by kings, prophets, and even fishermen. But all has one thing in common. They've been inspired by the Holy Spirit to put pen to papyrus and write the letter. And here we have it some 2,000 years ago. We have it today. And this word is not only was meant for the first readers of 1 Peter, but it's meant for you and I. This is why we study God's word. Now, let's look at the name. Before we get to the recipients, we look at the name. Peter, his original birth name, his name was Simeon, or in the Greek, sounds familiar, Simon. But when Peter met Jesus, Jesus was the one that kind of changed his name. And there is many reasons why. We don't have the time, but obviously the Lord is going to use Peter. Peter, you find when you mention the disciple, his name is always mentioned first. Always mentioned first. When you find Jesus, not taking all 12, you find there's always three with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And I think the reason why he has Peter, James, and John with him always, because if you know Peter, he's always getting in trouble, right? He has to keep an eye on Peter. Come on, Peter, I can't leave you alone. Come with me. And he's like, you know, foot and mouth kind of Peter, okay? He says things and then he regrets it later. But anyhow, in John chapter 1, verse 42, it says, now when Jesus looked at him, speaking of Peter, he said, you are Simeon, Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. And it says, which is translated a stone. Now, that in brackets is actually in the original text. It's not anyone who translators, it wasn't me. And when it says, which is translated a stone, John, he writes understanding that there's a lot of Jewish traditions, and he tends to, every now and then, if you read the Gospel of John, he tends to interpret it so the Gentiles like you and I can understand. But we're grateful that we have, you know, concordance and commentaries to kind of help us with that. But he writes that it means a stone. So Cephas in the Aramaic means rock. In the Greek, it means Petros. So in Aramaic and in the Greek, is either stone or pebble. And so Jesus' description of Peter, of his future strength and character, he said, you are rock. You know, not the rock. Jesus is the bedrock. That's why Jesus, when he at Caesarea Philippi, he takes him there and he says, who do men say who I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, for no man has revealed this to you, but the Holy Spirit. He says, upon this rock, not him. And that's where Catholics usually use him as to be the first pope. But then we have a problem because Peter was married. He has a mother-in-law, if you read the gospel. So he can't be a pope by Catholic, you know, views. But he says, upon this rock, meaning he's the rock, I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And there's some background as he points to a mountain was like a rock. It's a really big rock. And this is where a lot of pagan practices were at that time. So though he's a rock, but Jesus is the rock, the bedrock. And so now his name, Peter, his name is mentioned more than any of the disciples. All of them put together, if you were to tally up how many times the other 11 disciples' names were mentioned in the New Testament, you find that Peter's name is above all the other. His name is mentioned 191 times in the New Testament. 191 times. 162 times is as Peter or Simon Peter, 23 times as Simon, and 6 times as Cephas. So this is the Peter who the Lord had inspired to write this letter. His name is Peter, which means rock. So now let's look at the recipients. Who was the letter written to? Who was the letter written to? Let's look at verse 1 again. Let's look at verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This region here, there was persecution in Jerusalem. They made their way up north, and they made it to Asia Minor, which we know as modern-day Turkey. So these places where many of the Christians who were being persecuted had to flee to. This is also the area where the letters to the seven churches were written in the book of Revelation. Okay, so Ephesus, it's all in that region there. So this is where they fled, up north. And so this region is predominantly Gentile area. However, both Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians were being persecuted, so they had to flee. But this also, again, applies for us. The date, we kind of touched that in the beginning, in the introduction. It is, 1 Peter was written before his death, around AD 60 to 65. According to tradition, this happened before his death because, you know, Peter was later martyred. He was killed. The other one that didn't die a martyr's death of all the disciples were two. Judas, who gave, he actually took his life because he betrayed Christ, and John the Beloved, who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, who also wrote the book of Revelation. Okay, he's the only one that died of natural causes, okay? But Peter was martyred. He was martyred, and, you know, tradition says by historian Eusebius that Peter was crucified upside down. Upside down. And the reason why to be crucified, he himself requested to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, who was the one that executed this killing of Peter? It would have been Nero. Nero was the one who persecuting the church extremely bad, I mean, evil. Type of persecution. He also beheaded Paul the Apostle. He persecuted the Christians by tying them up on a pole, and he would do this near his palace. He would tie up the Christians on a pole, a row of poles on the left and the right, and what he would do, he would light them up and burn them alive.
You've just been listening to a great teaching with Pastor Eddie on running the race. I can just imagine the conversation between the Christians and Peter being something similar to an "Are you kidding me?" moment? And understandably so. These people were facing unfair hardships under an oppressive ruler. But Peter was encouraging them to buckle up and bear it, because people were watching. Some of their retorts to Peter could have been something like, "I should do what? And did you just see how Nero treated my friend?" For them and us, living a changed life is not repaying evil for evil. It's allowing God to work. This is the way to show others God's love. Setting aside what you want to do and picking up the way Jesus will have more impact than you'll ever know. Think about your reaction when a wrong is done to you. Are you portraying an accurate picture of Jesus? We hope this message encourages and challenges your heart and feet to action. Now, here's Jessica with an invitation just for you. Jessica?
We'd love to have you come join us at Calvary Chapel of Milford. We're conveniently located off Interstate 84 and Route 6. For service times and all the information you need, visit runningtheraceradio.com and click on the Back to Homepage button. While you're there, you can listen to this teaching again or explore more messages from Pastor Eddie. Again, that website is runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica, and thank you for listening today. Be sure to come back for more on Running the Race.